He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin.
This is Car Keys. Baby, you can drive my
car. Good morning to our listeners. Jay and I are both on for this week's show, and a number of things have come to our attention, which we hope you find interesting. Jay, what do you have to start with?
Well, just I'd like to talk about the state of the industry first. One thing that, you know, reading through the news over the last week, it seems like dealer inventories are going up, which indicates one of two things, or both things actually can be true, is that either sales are slowing down, which I think they are, or inventory supply issues are lesser now than they were, obviously, through the pandemic and just after the pandemic. So inventory, dealer inventories was historically around 3.5, I think close to 4 million cars before the pandemic, and that had gone down to as low as 500,000 cars. And slowly that inventory has been creeping up this year, and we're now back at about 2.5 million cars sitting on dealer lots, and that equates to an inventory of about 70 days worth of sales. The conclusion I draw from that is that it's probably, in as far as pricing, not a bad time to start hunting for cars again. And I know other things come in the way of that, like financing, but right now you should be able to buy cars at much better deals than we were able to do about, you know, a year ago or before that.
I think, Jay, you're right. I visually, on some of the roads I tend to travel by dealers, lots of which I take pay a visual attention to, and I have seen these lots fill up considerably over the last several months with vehicles. Some of them seem to be top-heavy with pickups versus passenger car options. Others, there's a Jeep dealership that seems to have like 25-plus Wranglers sitting on its lot right now. I have not gone in to see whether they are Wranglers with the X2, the battery, Survey hybrid ones, or just gasoline. But 25 for this small, what I consider to be a very small dealer, in general, is that their lot is top-heavy with Wranglers. I don't know whether they know something that I don't about what Wrangler sales are going to do in the coming months, but it's interesting to see. They've got all the colors, and 25 for this Jeep dealer. I don't think he's got 150 cars, a 150 car lot capability. So that's that comment. But
yeah, I thought I was hoping that in this country, the sales model for new cars might change a bit and go less to this massive supply of cars sitting on lots and then having salesmen pushing what they had on the lot, and more of a on-demand order your car model that is either used, like companies like Tesla, which is all on order, is all order-based sales. And what's done in other parts of the world. But I guess we're back to our habits, and this is what we want.
And we're back to 0% financing offers from the manufacturers, certainly not the banks. In lieu of that would be cash rebates. But there's some, in the truck division, I think there's some advertising going on with 0% plus $1,000 bonus cash type of situations. What that ends up being in terms of the actual price you end up paying is something that I say is still can be a confusing situation. 0% certainly sounds very interesting against private lenders' interest rates of, I think they're in the 4% to 5% range and up right now for 3-year loans or 4-year loans and up. But still, the average sticker price of cars has gone up, Jay. You know, we've discussed what it used to be, 3 years or 2 years ago, the average price was in the mid-30s or low to mid-30s across the board for all range of vehicles, and now I think it's reached
we're in the mid-40s.
Pricing that starts with a 4 in front of it.
Oh, yeah. We're well into the 40s.
And they aren't coming down. So either way you look at it, the cost of buying a car is still going to be a challenge for a lot of people other than the cash buyers that just go out and can write a check, which there seem to be enough because the sales of the more expensive versions of many of the cars that are on the dealer's lots are seemingly keep those inventory levels lower than the run-of-the-mill rest of the ranges of those same vehicles, such as pickup trucks and cars other than the Rivians and the Teslas of the world.
I still think, and we've talked about this in the past, but not recently, but now that things are, quote-unquote, somewhat back to normal, I've been looking a little bit on you know, what kind of deals you can get on new cars, and CPO, certified pre-owns, is still a great way to go.
I agree.
And, you know, even on luxury cars, which we see a lot of around here, right, Mercedes, Volvos, BMWs, if you go out and buy a certified pre-owned on a very, like, current model year or previous model year, you're going to get a discount of about 20%, and that can go, obviously, those discounts are going to get deeper as the car ages and has more miles. The advantage with a certified pre-owned is oftentimes the warranty on the car is far, far superior to what you get with a new car, so you're actually better off buying a CPO, and you can buy some tranquility, knowing that you can go sometimes up to 100,000 miles with the car under warranty.
Absolutely, so, one of the things that I find you have to worry about with those CPO warranties, however, is extended warranties tend to take you back to the year the car was first on the road, and far as the term time of the extended warranty is. The mileage thing is absolutely great. So the lower the mileage is on the CPO that you can find to buy, the better, the more miles you have in terms of mileage on your warranty. However, it will run out in some cases 5 years, in 5 years' time, but it may or may not be 5 years from the date you buy the pre-owned car. I've seen both, and you have to be very careful with the term limit situation, because if you buy a 2021 pre-owned car in 2023, you could lose months or gain months depending on when that car was first put into service. So anybody who's driving high mileages in their pre-owned purchases should worry about that kind of detail, as opposed to those that do not drive high mileages a year, because you probably would never know the difference before either you hit the mileage limit or the term runs out.
So let's talk a little crazy now. There's been some articles and talks and we've seen vehicles pop up, and I call them vehicles because we're seeing, you know, we're revisiting Back to the Future with this possibility of seeing flying cars. I have an opinion on that. I do want to know what you think of it and what you know of what's going on in the flying car world.
Well, my opinion about flying cars is stay out of them. I do not know that I would ever want to see a car, a number of flying cars driving at what would probably be fairly low altitude levels, above the streets that you would end up driving on when you landed them. Of course, we saw that in the Jetsons and other comic book strips way back in last century, and they were a topic of imagination back then. Now they're becoming a topic of more potential reality. But my feeling about a flying car has not changed. And Jay, you can chime in and say, what do you think about that idea?
Well, I think we call them helicopters or airplanes, but there is a project and a company developing air taxis, and that is going to roll out the air taxi service in Dubai. And I know Dubai is a very different country than ours, or a different place. But it is interesting to see that they will have these, and they kind of look like helicopters with little mini propellers, like they're halfway between a helicopter and a drone. But I had also read previously that they might be driverless or pilotless, which becomes really freaky. And we can move on to this driverless cars and taxis that we've been talking about on and off for some time now. And as Cruise is pulling out of the, you know, Cruise GM's division or company that handles the automated driving, self-driving cars. There's another company owned by Toyota, May Mobility, that actually is launching a taxi service with a handful of minivans in the Phoenix area. And it seems interesting that the test markets for driverless cars is always in the Phoenix area. And there's good reason for that. But apparently this company is going to start a service in a retirement community where they have very simple roads, and they're starting with a handful of vehicles, but I think they're starting right about now, moving people around with no drivers in the car. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes. I am, you know, as much as I am for self-driving or to some extent self-driving vehicles, or some degree of autopilot, I do want to see somebody in the driver's seat, and I think we're going to see somebody in the driver's seat for some time to come.
Well, I think the Cruise situation is an example of where that's going to make it almost, I hope it's mandatory that there's a driver in a cockpit. I also don't think that driverless cars should, or self-driving cars should potentially come without steering wheels.
Agreed.
And that has been on the radar of some of the stuff with driverless cars too, but we got away from the flying car situation pretty quickly, Jay. Well, that was very clever. I don't see flying cars to be an alternative to helicopter type of transportation. First of all, you need a runway to take unless they can make vertical. Cars, flying cars, vertical takeoff and landing situation, and maybe that's already in the design frame. I do not
know. I mean, we're talking about drones, realistically.
Yes, we're talking about drones, exactly.
So what do you think of Tesla's big headache with their recall?
I thought it was going to be a big headache, but I think it's probably already done.
I think so, too.
Because it's over-the-air updates. So the cars are sitting in the driveway all across the world, and presumably they are capable of taking over the air. I don't know whether there's a limit to the space of how many cars at a time can be updated, or whether it's just a mass. Can 2 million cars take the update overnight, and they all be done in one day? I do not know what the time element is on that, but I don't think Tesla's got a real problem with the recall at all as far as servicing them. Recalls that are out on my Hyundai, for example, which is a 2013, there are two or three recalls, but they don't have over-the-air updates available or capability. So I called the dealer up to say, when should I bring it in? Well, the software or the part or whatever is being recalled isn't available yet. And we'll let you know, or Hyundai will let you know when you can bring it in for the updates. That takes time, but there are not 2 million vehicles on the road, presumably, that are going to require the same updates that my particular model is requiring. So it is convenience is the biggest issue with updates or recalls, convenience of getting them done. And if you don't have to go into a dealer because they can be software, they're basically software-related, I don't think it's a big problem for Tesla at all. That.
Well, the problem is the bad press, and you know, yeah, the bad press. But we know that Elon Musk is pretty slick at dealing with bad press, and he probably figures that bad press is press, drive sales regardless.
Elon is another quandary, just in publicity and all that. I'd be interested to know what he's driving when he's driving. Is he driving in a Tesla where he takes his hands off the wheel and reads the latest press release on his publicity campaigns?
Or is he actually driving the car? He probably just drives another Tesla.
Yeah, but I bet he steers a small collection of cars.
He was a car guy before becoming a car manufacturer. And I define a car guy by a guy, you know, who liked cars. And he had, I forget what he had, but he had a few interesting cars. He probably still does.
Well, wasn't the first one of the cars a Lotus or something that was Tesla?
The first Tesla electric car was a Lotus Elise or Elan, or something like that. And to run on.
But he's a genius at many levels.
We'll talk about him.
Building underground transportation tunnels. Somewhere in the country or in over the world that are trying to get people underground from one place to another in record-breaking time. I haven't seen many articles updating those particular projects in recent times, but I think there's ongoing somewhere. London was one place, was it? Or somewhere in the U.S., I think he was building an underground tunnel roadway or something.
No idea.
To the rockets, which he's being very successful with at the moment, I think, at some levels. But let's go to what were we talking about before broadcast time of talking about? Electric car. There's an article about a European gentleman who has a Tesla Model S 2014 vintage year who's put over 1 million miles on it, and it's a story of something that's probably not relevant to American drivers or ownership of Teslas. In that few, if anybody, will actually get to 1 million miles very quickly in their lifetime, the way this gentleman apparently has, since it's only 2023, so it's 10 years, he's put over 1 million miles on a Tesla Model S. And he goes through the history of what really was needed during that time, which basically related to electric motors and batteries. And as we know, electric cars do not need the kind of servicing and potential warranty repairs in terms of equipment in these cars, in non-electric vehicles, that electric cars do. So it was fascinating to read about it. It's irrelevant to talk about any further other than that he likes his Tesla. He still likes the Tesla. He has not gotten the Lucid, which he apparently had ordered for a while or thought he might. And I took it upon myself to find out what a local resident in our broadcast area thought about the Tesla that she owns, and it's a 2012, and she has yet to trade it in, and she is not going to, although she says Tesla's tried to buy her out of her Tesla for a couple of the following reasons. One is she has lifetime free charging,
yep,
which is no longer offered with Tesla purchases. Secondly, she can't get the color that she got when she got the 2012, and that's just a quirky decision not to trade a car in. But I'm the same way about a couple of my vehicles, with quirky reasons why I don't want to get rid of them, even though there are advancements in the newer versions. But she claims that she thinks the quality level of her 2012 is probably better. She says she has seen some newer vehicles with very bad fit and finishes on them, which may have to do with the speed at which they try to run them down the assembly line to get them into the sales hands, and they don't get the quality checks that she thinks her model got. So, but she's only had one battery change in hers. She's got over 100,000 miles on this vehicle. She loves it. She's had a battery change swap, which was done under warranty, and she's had one motor change, and she does not have an all-wheel drive version. They didn't have the all-wheel drive, I believe, in the early days, so it's rear-wheel drive. And she loves it, and she won't get rid of it. And she thinks Tesla wants to buy her out of it because they want to get her out of the free charging and whatever else they might have offered to her that is no longer offered by sales of Tesla vehicles. So you have two Tesla vehicle Model S's experiences, one local and one international, and despite the repair costs, or non-costs, as the case might be, both of those owners are wedded to their original Tesla models and have not updated them to the newer ones. And they still think it's the greatest car they've ever owned.
Speaking of great cars, in 2023, there was an article that came out in Axios, I think it was this morning, or I saw it this morning, about the best cars of 2023. And I don't have the list in front of me, but no surprise, the cars that we, Ioniq 5, the Kia Electric, Honda Accord, Toyota Prius are all vehicles that figure on the top of the list.
And they do indeed.
And
the nice part about that is that they are affordable. I'm sure
none of them are inexpensive. Really, actually, there are.
No, but affordable versus the luxury cars.
Chevy Trax is a little, you know, the most affordable, smallest Chevy SUV, and I'm not sure I could recognize one if I saw one.
It got good grades though for being one of the better cars of 2023.
So the you know, and GM has a lot of pretty good product coming out. There's also a three-row Cadillac. I forget the name. A three-row SUV that is going to be a little bit smaller than the Escalade, but will be followed by one that will be the size of an Escalade.
And it's going to be electric?
Yep, full electric.
Even
though that sales of electric vehicles are softening a little bit right now, I think we know that will, you know, change again. I'm pretty confident.
I think it will too. There's pressure to change it to a positive viewpoint of it. But as you said, it's softening a little bit. And anybody, there are any number of reasons that are arguable by the manufacturers about why they are softening. And they're all trying to say it's not their fault.
So,
but then you go to the Ford situation with the Lightning, and as you know, one of the magazines that has been following electric vehicles quite closely in terms of tests and all that has said that one example of the reason for a decline in the sales levels of the Ford Lightning is that Ford made several mistakes, marketing mistakes, when they brought it out.
Well, pricing was a huge issue, but we're running out of time, I want to bring up a little safety topic before we close. Alcohol, consumption of alcohol as we go into
and
the holiday
driving.
Season.
Yeah.
We have to drink or drive, not both. And if we drink, we do not drive. It's that simple. I just was looking at statistics, and about 13,000 of the 42,000 deaths on the road are directly linked to alcohol. That's 31% of all fatalities are due to crashes that involve alcohol consumption.
Impairment.
Impairment. Not just consumption, impairment.
Right.
0.08 and over. So as we go into this holiday season, find a designated driver. I know it's hard to find.
Or take an Uber.
Or a Lyft ride. Well, it's hard around this neck of the woods, but find a way.
Take a taxi.
To drive,
call a taxi.
Drive. Take a taxi. That's pretty much it.
I couldn't agree with you more. That's a good way to end our show.
Happy holidays.
To all.